Hey everyone, my name is Dave Nixon and welcome to the Alpha Theta Flow podcast. This is Flow 663 and today I'm going to talk a little bit about nervous systems and perceptions, which are two very different things. So I'm currently reading Polyvagal Theory by Steve Porges and it's recommended through Strong Fit. They've done a lot of work with that. So is Magdalena Weinstein, although I haven't done a lot of her work. And there was something here that I wanted to share throughout the book that I found really interesting, because a lot of my work initially has been done in this subjective space of health and understanding the meaning structures that we give things and how that interrelates with our physiology. Whereas a lot of objective empirical science and research and all that sort of stuff struggles to validate any form of maps, which are near reality maps, because they can't be reality. They struggle to identify that because they can't be empirically measured. Fair enough, if we were looking at empirical work, but we're looking at frames and thinking of mind that we can't actually see the outsides of. We have to be able to interpret the insides. That's different. And so the nervous system is an objective component, right? And so on page 67, in the chapter that's an ANS, Autonomic Nervous System, Definition of Stress, he goes on to say, perceptions and assumed threats to survival, independent of the actual physical characteristics of the stimulation, may promote a massive withdrawal of the parasympathetic nervous system tone and a reciprocal excitation of SNS tone, so sympathetic nervous system. So I want to share with that with you and what I really think he's pointing at here and what I really think is important and that we can miss when we're just looking at the physical body and just looking at that as if that's reality. It's only half the truth. So perceptions and assumed threats to survival. Perception is literally looking at the different perceptions, different filters that people will have, the different meaning structures people have about any particular given thing. And this is how each person can see different things as different threats. And they may or may not be threats in reality as it unfolds. However, our ability to perceive threat is crucial for our survival. But we perceive it very differently. And that's also where it says assumed threats to survival. Independent of the actual physical characteristics of the stimulation being the perceived threat. And so any stimulation that we see in the outside world, maybe that we feel within our internal body, right? Any perceived threat of that is a stimulation for us to be able to respond in a particular way. And the way that we perceive that stimulation, which is subjective, depends on how we end up responding, right? Independent of the actual physical characteristics. So, it may promote a massive withdrawal of parasympathetic tone. And so think of your parasympathetic as your flow or freeze. Think of it as rest and digest. That's when we're often in a safe space. We're able to come back down and relax and be alert but not alarmed at all. And that's where we sleep, really. So, and when it says tone, it means that it's being used, in lack of a better term. And a reciprocal excitation of the sympathetic nervous system. So this is where, based on our perceptions of how the stimulation within our lives is occurring and our meaning structures of those particular stimulations, we'll see this reduction within parasympathetic and an increase in sympathetic, which is fight or flight or mobilization. And so the powerful thing here is that it's not about whether it's a safe cave or a dangerous cave, because that's just looking at the environment. It's just looking at the objective world around us and ignoring the subjective meaning structures that we may have. A car park to someone can mean something very, very different to somebody else, especially an empty car park at nighttime. Very, very different. Some people find jail to be comforting because that's what they know and that's where they feel familiar. And to them, it's not threatening. Out in the real world, that's threatening, right? Whereas for majority of people, we can relate to the opposite. So the amazing thing here is then learning how to get to these subjective structures and understanding and finding maps and understanding the maps so we can understand both our own intentions and other people's intentions. And, you know, the Ken Wilber's quadrants is a beautiful space here, because really what it's looking at least four areas that is multiple perspectives of any given situation that's always occurring. And that will be the individual objectives. So the physical body, the traits, the habits, the brain, the organs, all of that of the individual. In this case, for me, it's me. In that case, for you, it's you. And that's where the nervous system, that's where your breathing, that's where your muscularity and your habits all sit. They're all measurable. We can see that. The individual subjective are all the feeling, thoughts, emotions, but the meaning structures, right? How we make meaning of the world. It's our map of reality, not reality. So no one speaks the truth. They speak their truth. They speak our truth, right? I just tell it how it is. No, you tell it how you see it. And so depending on the individual, it can often be very, very limited because they're looking from a particular point of view. And so when we look now and we take those subjective and objective components and make that as a collective rather than an individual, then we see the community, the culture, the support, right? And if we don't feel supported in a space that actually is safe, then maybe we don't feel safe. But environmentally, we look at it and go, it's a library. Why would this not be safe? However, we don't feel supported there. But the cave appears to be fine from an outsiding point of view. So this is the key thing here, is that the deeper we can get to understand our meaning structures and our own intentions, intentionality, the more that we can understand how we feel safe in certain areas and how we can help other people give them space to allow themselves to feel safe somewhere as well. And it's not about safe space in the sense of everything's triggering me. It's more so in the sense of how can I feel safe when I'm wherever I am. And that's a crucial thing. That's empowerment. That's self-regulation. That's powerful. And on that note, team, I'm done. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you found this podcast beneficial, it would mean the world to me if you'd pass it on to someone else who you think would also find it beneficial. And if you haven't already, you can grab a copy of my book, Money Yourself, anywhere online that sells books, or at alphathetaflow.com if you would like one personally signed by me. If you're an athlete, a coach, or a high performer, and you're wanting to find out how to find your flow, then check out alphathetaflow.com and get in touch, because I'd love to have a chat with you. But that's it from me. Big love, peace and pizza. I'll see you all soon.